I want to tell you, I've got two books. Actually, I've got two books, but one of them I ran out of them. My first order was 5, and I ran out. So I didn't want to have any great expectations, okay? But seriously, I've got a book called Testimony of a Hellbound Preacher, which I preached last night, and I only have one of those left. But if you want it, it's $7,000. There's only one back, okay? All right. So there's only one. But I have this book, and I'm going to preach this message tonight. This is one of my favorite messages. But it's called The Bear Ate the Monkey. All right, you can tell how deep I am. The Bear Ate the Monkey. But it is a booklet on how to deal with the fleshly nature. And the message that I preach tonight, this is not a message in the sense that some guys, they preach a message and then have it copied in a written form. This is a series, very short book. I can't go long, but this is just several thoughts about how to deal with your fleshly nature. And anyway, the books are $2. It would cost me $1 to print it, and then I take the other dollar. Now, people ask me, what do you do with that dollar? What are you doing with the money you make? I spend it. What do you think I do with it? Oh, I hear these guys, every dollar's going to the mission field. Not for me. I give my faith promise, this money goes to my pocket. Hey, I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you the truth, boy. Hey, every once in a while I see a good golf course, I want to stop. Money. Hey, you know what? I got to tell you a funny thing. I've had these booklets for a while, you know, and I was out on the Navajo reservation preaching. I had a great time out there with those Navajos. God's doing a good work out there. But I'm preaching, and I said to them, and I didn't know better. I said, look, I've got these books, and they're $2 a piece, but if you don't have $2 or even $1, I'll give it to you. Every single person came forward to get a free book. Not one person bought a book. I'll never say that again to any Indian. I don't care what kind of Indian they are. They're not getting free books, amen. All right, anyway. Now, you may not like that. I just like to have fun, but they did. They took every book I had. So anyway, I'm not going back there. But, hey, there's enough of you that we could do a little business tonight, okay? So don't forget the book. But hey, I use humor in the book. I use humor everywhere. So anyway, that's $2 if you want to help. And here's what a lot of people do, and I thank the Lord since I really lost out in the Navajos. What a lot of people do is they will not have a dollar, and they say, here's a 5, and then I give them, start to give them change, and they say, oh, no, just keep it. And I praise God. So if you want to do that, I'm all for you. Okay, now, I want to share this with you tonight. I want to share this with you. Before I preach, I just want to share this joke. And you may have heard it. Most jokes, I have a hard time finding new jokes, so you may have heard this one. But there was, you know, I'm 63 years old, and, you know, God's been good to me because my health is good, and I still enjoy activities. I like to do anything. Anybody's doing it, I like to do it. But anyway, there was this joke about this old guy, and he was a farmer all of his life. But he got older, got to the point where he just couldn't farm anymore, and he didn't want to farm anymore. And so what he did was he sold off his land, and he just decided, well, you know what? Even though I can't farm, I want to do something else. I don't want to just sit around. So he began to think about what he could do, that he could make a profit, and not really know a whole lot about it. So he decided to be a doctor, because every doctor he went to didn't have a clue. So he decided he was going to be a doctor. So anyway, he put a shingle out on his house. It said, Dr. Geezer. That was his name, Dr. Geezer. And then underneath it, it said, $500 for an office call, but if I can't help you, you get $1,000 back. So anyway, people started going to him left and right. Well, a real doctor in town, Dr. Young, he heard about Dr. Geezer and he didn't like it. So he thought, I'm going to go in there and get $1,000. So he goes in and he sees Dr. Geezer and he says, Dr. Geezer, He said, I've lost my taste. I can't taste anything. And Dr. Kuzer said, I can help you. He said, nurse, go to drawer one, get bottle three, and put three drops in Dr. Young's mouth. And so she did. She put three drops. He goes, ah, that's gasoline. He said, congratulations, you have your taste back. That'll be $500. So he comes back. He comes back about a week later, and he said, Dr. Geezer, he said, I've lost my memory. I can't remember anything. He said, I can help you with that. He said, nurse, go to drawer one, get bottle three, and put three drops on Dr. Young's tongue. He said, oh, no, you don't. That's gasoline. He said, congratulations. You have your memory back. That'll be $500. So, anyway, boy, he was hot. He was hot about that. So he waited a couple weeks, and he went back, and he said, Dr. Geezer, he said, I've lost my sight. I can't see anything. He said, well, I can't help you with that. He said, here's your $1,000. He hands him a $10 bill. Dr. Young looks at him and says, wait a minute, that's $10. He said, congratulations, you got your eyesight back. That'll be $500. Hey, moral of the story, don't mess with an old geezer, amen? So anyway, I like that. I like that story. All right, I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter number 7, if you will. Romans chapter 7. This is familiar scripture to you. I'm going to illustrate something tonight, and you won't forget it. You may not like the message, but you won't forget it. Romans chapter 7, verse number 18. Paul writes and says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before I go on, I want you to look at one other passage of scripture with me. Look over at the book of Galatians. Again, very familiar scripture. Galatians and chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And then I want to begin reading in verse 16, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Now look at this last phrase, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would, or you cannot do the things that you should. You cannot do the things that you should. Now, Brother Ross, he preaches to young people. I preach to young people a lot. I'm always looking for things. I'm always looking for illustrations. I'm always looking for stories. I spend a lot of time doing that because if I can keep young people's attention, I can help them. So, I saw this video. Somebody, I may have told me about it, but I saw this video. It was a Russian circus. And in this circus, in the center ring on this video, was a bear. And the bear was riding a bicycle. They had taught the bear to ride a bicycle. And the bear had this little outfit on, riding a bike around in the center ring. Then out comes a monkey. And the monkey's on a tricycle. and the monkey is riding the tricycle, and he comes out in the ring, and he's riding in front of the bear. So you got the monkey on the tricycle, and you got the bear on the bicycle, and they're going around. The trainers are not even in the ring. They're doing it on their own. Oh, the kids love that. Everybody loved that. But something happened. I don't know exactly how it took place, but the monkey fell off of the tricycle. While he's going around, he falls off the tricycle. The bear, his bike runs into the tricycle, flips the bear over the handlebars. He lands on the monkey, and he starts eating the monkey. That's the truth. You can still look it up. It's on there. The bear is starting to eat the monkey. Well, that wasn't part of the show. So the bear's got the monkey. He's eating the monkey. The trainer comes out. One trainer has got the monkey by the tail, trying to pull the monkey away from the bear. The other trainer is beating the bear, like, bad bear, bad bear. Let go of the monkey. But you know what? The bear wouldn't let go of the monkey. He wouldn't let go. And so finally, the trainer who had the monkey's tail pulled really hard and got the monkey away from the bear. The only problem, there's only half a monkey. The bear ate the monkey. Now, personally, I thought the show was better. It's pretty boring watching them going around in a ring, but when the bear's eating the monkey, that's exciting. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I saw that, immediately, my creative mind, immediately, I'm thinking, there's a message there. There's a message in that, for sure. But I didn't realize how much of a message there was until I began to really think about that and begin to develop that. And here's the thing I want to tell you tonight. The thing that all of us really know this, but it's good just to be reminded. The bear was trained to get along with the monkey. That was the show. But the bear's nature was to eat the monkey. That's his nature. So when he got an opportunity and fell on the monkey, he went to eat it. Because bears are carnivores. They eat flesh. Now, bears are kind of unusual because they'll eat nuts and berries too. But they love flesh more than they love peanuts. They love flesh because they're carnivores. So, the bear was doing what bears do by their nature. Are you with me? But the bear was trained to get along with the monkey, but that wasn't his nature. Now, you listen to what I'm about to say tonight. And then I'm going to illustrate it. You and I, when we got saved, we received the Holy Spirit. Really, that's what makes you saved. Calling upon the name of the Lord gives you salvation, but really what makes you saved is the Holy Spirit coming and taking residence in your life. Romans chapter 8 says that if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. The Spirit of God makes the difference. When the Spirit of God comes into your life, you get all of Him. You get all of the Holy Spirit when He comes into your life. Amen? Yes. But He spends the rest of your life getting all of you. You get all of Him. But then He, through the process we call sanctification, works on getting all of us. And His enemy is our flesh. Because when you get saved, the same flesh you had before you got saved is the same flesh you even have right now. It's the same flesh. That's why Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't do. The things that I wouldn't do or shouldn't do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Not was, but oh, wretched man that I am. That's what Paul said. And then Paul, writing in Galatians, said, the flesh and the spirit warreth and battle each other. And if the flesh has control in our life, we cannot do the things that we should. We cannot. Now, you listen to this statement tonight. If you don't get anything else tonight, listen to what I'm about to say. You cannot reform the flesh. You cannot. And that is what I see everybody doing, trying to reform the flesh. How many times have you heard this? Well, I'm doing better. How many times have you heard somebody say something like that? I'm doing better with that. I have road rage, but I'm doing better. Hey, I have a tendency for road rage. Some of you don't, you're spiritual. But I'm telling you, I'm from Chicago. Everything moves fast. If you slow down, you get run over in Chicago. You go. You cut people off. It's okay. In Arkansas, every single person who has a handicap license plate, every one of them, will pull out in front of you and park. Oh, they are in a hurry to pull out in front of you, and then they go 20 miles an hour. And I'm telling you, I am this far from their bumper. My wife says, get off their bumper. I said, I don't want to. I want them to know that I am right there. Oh, that aggravates me. It aggravates me. And they don't use their turn signals. They never use their turn signals. And I just want to honk the horn so bad. I do. But in a small town, most people know you're a pastor, so I start, I can't do that. Okay, I know I'm the only one like that. I understand that, okay? But I want to tell you something. That's my flesh. That's my fleshly nature, okay? Now, everybody in this room, you battle something. I promise you, you battle something. You might look at me and say, I can't believe you do that. Well, I do. I'm just telling you. I have a problem with that. But I got other problems, too. Some of you, you got your problem is your tongue. You can't control that tongue. You got to yak, 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 yak. You know, men speak 10,000 words a day, average. Women speak about 40,000 words a day with wind gusts up to 100,000. Now, that doesn't mean every woman does that. Some of you are down to about 30, but I'm telling you one thing, man. Sometimes, boy, you ladies, you have a hard time with controlling that tongue. It may be temper. It may be the tongue. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it comes out of the fleshly nature if it's no good. And your fleshly nature is still in you. You can't reform the flesh. You can't try harder and do better. That's not biblical. It is not biblical. I admire you for wanting to do better, but you can't reform the flesh. That fleshly nature is going to be with you till you die. But the Bible tells us what to do. Now, I'm going to illustrate this because I love it. I love doing this. I need a little guy that'll come up here. I need a small guy. Okay, son, you're ready. Okay, look at me. What's your name? Christopher. Oh, I never heard that. Okay, what is your name?
Christopher.
Christopher. Oh, Christopher. Good there. I'm glad. Thank you for helping me. This may be the last time you are in a church service after I get done with you. Okay, Christopher here is going to represent the Spirit of God, and I'll show you why. Now I need a big guy. I need a big guy that will come up here and help me. A big guy. Don't jump up all at once, all right? I just need a bigger guy. All right, good enough. Okay. All right. What is your name?
Samuel.
All right. I told Samuel, he looks like he ought to be a preacher. He's got the look. No, he does. Now, Christopher, he doesn't have the look. Sorry. Okay. Do you want to be a preacher? No. Okay. At least he's honest. All right. Samuel, though, doesn't he look like he could be a preacher? So I just try to throw that in. All right, Samuel, you're going to be the fleshly nature, okay? And Christopher is going to be the Spirit of God. But now I need two more guys, a couple of you guys on the front. You help me. Yeah, attaboy, come on up here. You stand right here. What is your name?
Luke.
Lucas.
Luke. Okay, I think he's nervous and he couldn't remember his name. Okay. Luke and Lucas. You're not related, right? No, the good thing. You got six boys. What's your name? Luke. Okay. All right, that's wonderful. All right, now I want to show you this, okay? Now, Lucas, you're going to be the devil. Okay. All right, now, I want you to kind of give a devilish look. No. That's not a devil like that. A devil, like a evil. Okay. Now I know why he just takes the same name, okay? All right. Hey, here's what I want you to do. You're the devil. I want you to go, yeah. Okay. All right, good. Okay, all right. You're the devil. Okay, Luke, you're the world. All right, you're the world. Kind of look worldly. That's a good one, man. Okay, all right, good. Hey, you're retarded. Okay. All right. You like that? Wait till I get to you. Okay, you're the devil, you're the world, and you're the flesh, okay? And you're, the flesh is just big. You're big. All right. You're big. Okay. All right, now listen to me. The devil is our adversary. The Bible says he's our adversary, seeking whom he may devour, right? All right. The world is the attraction to the flesh. See, that's why we love the world. That's why the Lord said don't love the world, because we naturally will love the world because it's an attraction to our flesh. All right, so the devil is our adversary. The world, give me that chin thing again. Okay. All right. The world has a nerve problem, but the world is our attraction. All right? The flesh, look at me. The flesh is our appetite. It's our appetite, see? So they've got a real advantage because the devil, who's the god of this world and the prince of the power of the air, is our adversary, but he is the god of this world, so he controls what's going on in this world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know most of you are good with this, but that's why we preach hard against worldliness. Amen. We do not apologize for preaching hard against worldliness. I love preaching against worldliness. I like it. I like preaching against everything. I'm against everything. This whole world, man. The god of this world is the devil. He pulls the strings. The world just simply dictates what is going on, that it will attract the flesh. And you got to admit, a lot of the things of the world are attractive. They are. So you got the devil, the adversary. The world is the attraction, and the flesh is the appetite. Okay? Now over here, Christopher, I didn't forget you. He represents the Spirit of God. You say, well, why do you have such a little guy do that? I'll tell you why. Because in most Christians, this is his size. In most Christians, the Holy Spirit is so limited in our Christian lives that he has such a small space because we have so much flesh. The flesh is so strong in our lives that he is small. He's not small, he's God, but he doesn't force himself. And so he has a small capacity in our lives. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab me by the hand. Both hands, grab my hand. All right, I want you to grab me by the hand. All right, I want you to grab him by the hand, and you grab him by the hand. Okay, isn't that nice? Okay, now listen to me. Now, Now, most of you may know where I'm going here. All right? The Holy Spirit wants to lead me into the life of a dedicated, consecrated, yielded Christian. He wants to lead me into the will of God. Everybody in this room, God has a will for your life. He has a general will, and he has a specific will. That's where he wants to take me. All right? So what I'm going to do, when I say three, I want you to pull me that way, and that's the will of God. Okay? You with me? Okay. You guys, when I say three, you pull me that way. That's away from God. That is self. That is a self-centered life. That is doing what I want to do. All right? So you three are a team, and I've got the Holy Spirit over here, and he's going to take me toward the will of God. All right? When I say three, you both pull, okay? One, two, three. Go. Okay. All right. Come on back here. All right, now can I tell you something? I've been preaching this a lot. Happens every time. But can you see why? Can you see what you're up against? Hey, listen, this isn't just for fun. This is for real. You tell me, Brother Dawson, I'm struggling in my Christian life. I can tell you why in a heartbeat. Flesh is too strong in your life. You try to reform it, forget it. You'll never reform the flesh. You never reform the flesh. You starve it. You don't feed the flesh. That's the Bible is very clear. You do not yield to the flesh. You do not get into the flesh. What does the Bible say in Colossians? Put off the old man and put on the new man. So here's the deal. You do not just automatically get spiritual when you get saved. You get a good new nature when you get saved. But you don't automatically become spiritual. You become saved. But spirituality is a lifetime process. So what happens is we have the Spirit of God in us, but we love the world. We love the world because of the flesh. He's the culprit. He's not the culprit. He's the culprit because the world will always be wicked. The world will always be against God. It's no new thing that the world's against God. If you watch, I don't even watch the news anymore. You watch the news, they're always criticizing good. They're always criticizing right. Just like that thing that happened in Las Vegas. That's a terrible tragedy. But the thing that comes out of it, take our guns away. Like that's the answer. Take our guns away. They're not taking my gun away. I'll hide that dude. Hey, listen, it's not the God-fearing American that's causing the trouble. If we lost our guns, the criminals will still have their guns. That's ridiculous. But that's what we're going to hear now, boy. We're going to hear it big time. I'm telling you, the world's warped. The world's thinking's warped. I know all of this stuff is redundant, but I'll tell you, how can anybody say that you could take a baby that's fully formed, pull it out of the mother's womb, kill it and stick it back in there and it's okay? It's murder! I'll tell you, I can't comprehend it. I can't comprehend the way the world thinks. But the world is the world because the devil's in control. The devil's the god of the world, right? And the world is the attraction to the flesh. So the reason some of you in this room may have a real hard time with the world is because your biggest problem is with the flesh. It's not the world that's the problem. The flesh is your problem. And the reason your flesh is the problem is because you keep feeding it. You sit at home at night and watch television, you're feeding the flesh. That's what you're doing. And now listen, don't get mad at me. If you do, that's okay. I'm out of here tomorrow. But listen to me. In America, you know, one of the biggest sins of all is just obesity. We can't control our appetites. We can't control anything because the flesh is out of control. And we feed it, and we don't think anything about it. But I want to tell you something. Grab my hand. Grab my hand, grab hand, grab hand. Ham, gram. Okay. You pull that way. When I say three, you do better this time. Not yet, though. All right? I'm going to go to the will of God. Now, hey. You know what Paul said? With my mind, I want to serve the law of God. With my mind. But with my flesh. I'm gonna go the other way. All right, here we go. When I count to three, pull me. One, two, three, go! Okay, you're okay, are you? You all right? Okay, your shirt sleeve's a little longer than the other one. Now listen. Okay, this is a simple message. All my messages are simple. Yeah, that's good, all right. Amen. Now listen to me. Here's another statement. If you write down something, write this down. People in revival services and in church services get under conviction when God speaks to them, and then they come to the altar. Now listen to what I'm about to say. The altar is a place to get right, but it's not the place that you get fixed. The altar is the place that you humble yourself before God and get right. But if you're praying the prayer, oh Lord, I want you to change me, change me, change me. You're not going to change. You're not going to change. When you listen to preaching the Word of God, like tonight, you come down to the altar and you say, Lord, I have allowed the flesh to get too strong in my life. I've allowed the things in my life to feed the flesh, and I am fleshly, I am worldly. I have that appetite, and I don't want it. I want to live for you. That's a great prayer. Forgive me. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if I'm going to get right, if I'm going to change, I should say, I'll get right at the altar. If I'm going to change, I'm going to have to go from the altar and do something. People don't want to do anything. They just want to pray like it's a miracle. I'm not saying God can't do miracles. I've seen Him do miracles. I have. I've got a lady in our church that had MS, late stages, and she wanted us to pray, and we anointed her with oil. We prayed for her. She was healed. She went to the doctor. They have no sign she ever had MS. Praise God. He can do things. But if you think that God's going to fix you by going to the altar, you're never going to change. Oh, that was a big amen. What you do is you go to the altar and humble yourself and get right. Then you get up and you go home and you change what you're doing so that the flesh gets smaller. Okay, all right, here I am. I'm here tonight. I'm sitting right here like I was last night. I listen to the preaching. The light comes on. I say, boy, that's for me. I go to the altar. I say, Lord, I've let the flesh have control too long. The flesh is too big in my life. The spirit doesn't have control, but I want Him to. I'm going to make some changes. I go home. Hey, I would challenge you, you know. We were talking about this today. We have these meetings to try to revive our people. Everybody slips, and then we want to get back or even go further. And I think some of you do. But you know, here's the thing. This would be a great thing if you did something like this. And this, some of you don't even have one. But if you had a TV, don't watch TV for a month and see how that changes you. 1 month. If you're an internet addict, get off the internet for a month. Get off of Facebook. I hate Facebook like a passion. Now, if you don't, I don't care. It's fine. But I'll tell you something. That is one of the biggest gossip centers that I have ever seen in mankind's history. And you get on there and you have got trouble if all you can do is say, hey, I had meatloaf for supper tonight. If that's what you got to do, you got to get a life. Your life is bad. If you're going to get on there, wait till you have steak. Don't talk about me, love. But I'm just saying to you, man, I'll tell you something. I didn't even know what Facebook was. I didn't even know what it was. And my son said, Dad, you need to get on Facebook because, you know, so many people know you. I said, I don't care. I don't want people knowing me. He said, but they already know you and you can get on there and communicate. I said, I don't want to communicate. He said, just do it and see what happens. I said, what do I got to do? He said, you just got to put your email address in there and make up a password. I put my email in there. I put password. Then all of a sudden, I get all of these pictures of people. They want to be my friend. I went down the line. Nope, 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 nope. Hey, but seriously, seriously, look at me. Seriously, I'm as serious as I can be. I was looking at the young people on there because lots of young people, I've preached to lots of young people, and here's the thing that I saw. The first thing that I saw, and I don't think it was an accident, I saw all the picture of these young people that I had preached to at camp and through the years, and these young people, man, they all looked worldly. They all had their pictures on there, and they're looking worldly. And I'm thinking, why are they doing that? Why? And then, this is really strange, there were a couple of kids on there that I knew them well enough to know, and it wasn't even their picture. It was somebody else. I thought, this is strange. But then it dawned on me, so many people today do not like who they are so they can get on Facebook and be somebody else. Hey, this is amazing. Number two reason for divorce in Arkansas, according to the news, Facebook. Number two reason. Why? People are not happy in their life. They like to live in a fantasy world. Or they connect with people they used to know because their life is miserable. Instead of fixing their life, they want to escape reality. Hey, listen, I can amen myself if you won't help me. Amen! I'm telling you something right now. I know their missionaries use Facebook. I know churches use Facebook. So listen, all I'm saying to you is, if you got off of Facebook for 30 days, you would not believe the change in you spiritually. What if you took the time you spent on these social networks and gave it to the Lord in prayer and Bible reading? Amen. Whoa! Amen. Hey, you don't have to like it. The flesh likes that stuff. The flesh wants that stuff. I'll tell you something else. I saw this the other day, and like 90% of young people today in America have a smartphone. You know what a smartphone is, don't you? It's not a phone just to talk and text. It's you get on the internet. And boy, you put something like that in a kid's hand, and he or she can get on the internet with no supervision. There's destruction. Come on. All right, so here's what I do. I just want to throw those things in, okay? Now, here's what I want to tell you. It doesn't matter what it is. If it feeds the flesh gets bigger. Flesh gets bigger, it has a greater appetite for the world. You become more worldly. It's going to happen, all right? But I go to revival. I'm convicted. I come down. I get right. I decide I'm going to make some changes in my life. More time with God. More time in my prayer life. I'm going to do some things to make a difference. I do that a week. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months. I'm serious. Sometimes you don't see immediately results. You don't do it for results. The ultimate reason you do it is for obedience. But when you do it, you get results. All right, watch what happens. I want you to come over here. Right here. And you come over here. After several weeks, after I've made a decision, and I want the Lord to be in control of my life, and I don't want the flesh to control my life. I don't want to be like the world. I certainly don't want to please the devil. All right, now here I am. Grab my hand. Grab his hand. Grab his hand. Grab my hand. Now the Holy Spirit is bigger in my life. Now he has more of me than he had before. Now he has more influence. He can speak to me, and I'm listening. All right? He wants to take me toward the will of God. He wants to take me in a godly life. He wants to take me where my life will amount to something, and it won't be destroyed, or maybe not destroyed, even be damaged. My testimony to be hurt. He's not going to do that to me, are you? He's going to take me that way. But these guys are the same. The only difference is the flesh isn't so big in my life. All right, you guys take me that way, and you take me that way. All right, here we go. One, two, three, go. Hey, he gets the bad end of it no matter where he's at. All right, oh, you kind of like this, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, one more time, all right? Here we go. One, two, three, go. All right, I'm not going to damage him anymore, but listen to me. Look at me. This happens every single time. No matter what I do, it happens every time. Here's why. Devil's the same. World's the same. But the flesh is not. See, the flesh is the connection to the world and the devil, and now the flesh is small in my life because I starved him, because I don't feed him. He's not as big as he was, but automatically while I am starving the flesh, the spirit's getting bigger. He's having more and more control in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I see the difference in me. I see that appetite for spiritual things. You don't naturally have an appetite for spiritual things. Now listen to me. Everything that is of God comes from God. Everything. See, you don't have it in you. Nobody in this room naturally has it in you for the things of God. God gives you that through the Spirit of God. And so when the Spirit of God is strong in your life, you love church. You love the Lord. You love to hear preaching. You don't care what the preacher preaches, man. You're glad that he cares enough about you to tell you the truth. Man, that Bible comes alive. You read that Bible and you're in the flesh, you get nothing out of it, ladies and gentlemen. That's why some of you don't read your Bible on a regular basis, because the flesh is strong and you get nothing. Your prayer life, non-existent. Prayer list, you don't have one. I'm telling on you. But now, I've gotten right with God. Am I still a sinner? Absolutely. Will I still have battles? Yes, I will. Could he get big in my life? Oh, I'd like that. That's why it's a never-ending battle. But if I listen to the Lord, I have a tender heart, the Lord keeps taking more and more control of my life, the flesh automatically gets smaller, the world stays the same, the devil stays the same, but I'm different. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you? So what happens to me? Now I can go the way of the Lord. Now I can do the things of God. Now I even want to do the things of God. Because the Holy Spirit has not only access, but he has control. You know, everybody wants to make the filling of the Spirit something spooky. It's not spooky at all. The filling of the Spirit is when he has control of you, all of you. When he has control of all of you, you're filled with the Spirit. That's what's being filled with the Spirit. It's when he has control of all of you. And then he can manifest himself out of your life. Now, I'll tell you what. I want to say this, and I know when you come somewhere, you can got lots of things to say. But I just want to say this. You can tell a lot about yourself in three ways. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is in three different places or three different manifestations. The way the Holy Spirit comes out of our life, if we're filled with the Spirit, we don't speak in tongues. There are no tongues. There's no jumping around and acting like an idiot. Hey, you know, I really appreciate something. My wife always says, you know, you get in the pulpit and you call people idiots. I said, well, they are. If they're doing that and they're doing that, they're an idiot. So I'm with your pastor today, and he's talking about a certain kind of people, and he says, they're idiots. I thought, I found my friend, right? Because the last time I did that, I got up in church, and I said, those people are, and I said, I'm not going to say idiot. Although they are idiots, I'm not going to say it. But I want to tell you something. There are a lot of people today that are totally ignorant. They're totally ignorant. Because the Spirit of God, once he fills you up and he's got control, he comes out in three ways. Number one, he comes out toward the unsaved in power to witness. He comes out of your life to the unsaved world, which we're supposed to reach with power. That's what Acts is all about. Man, the Bible says that they spoke the word of God with power. That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, we see it, the power of God for unsaved people. The second has to do with relationships. That is Galatians chapter 5, and that has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. It has to do with our relationship with God and relationship with others, so that it's not us, it's God coming out of us. That's why we have temperance, we have patience, we treat people right. Not because we're trying, but because the Spirit is manifesting himself out of us. We're not trying, We're dying so he can do it. Then the third way that he manifests himself is through spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, everybody has a gift. Everybody has a spiritual gift. What's that for? That's for the edification of the church. That's what it's for. The spiritual gifts that God gives, prophecy, ministry, teaching, mercy, giving, ruling, all of those gifts, every single person has at least one. Some people have more. Everybody has one. And can you imagine what kind of church that this would be, even though it's a good church, how much even greater it would be if everybody was using their spiritual gift? And everybody who's saved has a spiritual gift. But if you're in the flesh, it's not manifested. And I can show you this too. I know I talk a lot, but I'm done. That there are negatives to the spiritual gift when you don't use them. And that's why we have a lot of church trouble, because people who are saved who are not right with God, their spiritual gift actually becomes a negative in their life because they're not using it. That's amazing study if you do that in Romans chapter 12. You study that whole chapter. After you read about the gifts, then he tells you things not to do, and they are connected to your spiritual gift if you're in the flesh. But here it is. Manifestation number one, to the unsaved, power for witnessing. Manifestation number two, the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and that is for relationships. Manifestation number three, gifts, spiritual gifts, that's for the edification of the church. That's how the Holy Spirit comes out of us. Now, think about it. Look at me. I'm done now. I keep saying that, but I am. What about you? What about you? You say, well, I've only been saved 6 months. I don't care how long you've been saved. The minute you're saved, Spirit comes in. If Spirit gets control, you manifest the right things. But if you have a big flesh, you manifest bad things. But you try to do better, and you're frustrated. You're frustrated because you can't seem to gain any ground. Because trying doesn't get it. You don't try. You die to the flesh. You don't feed it. It gets smaller. Spirit gets bigger. He's in control. You're a different person. Is that easy? Come on, is that easy? It's not that easy to do, but it's easy to understand. So here we are. Are you like this tonight? Holy Spirit has control. Flesh is weak. World devil, same. They're same. That's not an issue. Or are you like this tonight? Flesh is big, spirit small, you're frustrated. You're spinning your wheels, and you're going nowhere. Which one are you? Last night we talked about being saved. Tonight, this is really, to me, one of the most important issues in our Christian life. Once you get this, you have to deal with it all your life, but you know what to do. And you know why you're battling. Because the flesh is so big. And what you got to do is you got to determine what is feeding your flesh. Nip it. Stop it. Whatever it is. Nip it in the bud. That's the Greek. But I'm telling you, it works. It works. And here I am. I've been saved a long time, been pastoring a long time. I get in the flesh, but I know exactly why. And everybody in this room, if you look at me in the eyeball, every person in this room, you know what feeds your flesh. Because you know what it is in your life that takes you away from the Lord. You know. It's just a matter of doing something about it. I pray you will. You guys can sit down. Thank you so much for helping me. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Now listen to me, folks. You know, when I come into church, when I'm in a place like this, especially a good place like this, but when I come into the church, all I have one goal, and that's it, help you. That's all I want to do. The pastor may say the same things I do. It's coming from a different voice. Sometimes it comes in a different way. All I want to do is help you. I want to help you as an individual, which will help your family, which will help your church. It all connects. But some of you in this room know exactly what I'm talking about. Your spiritual desires are small. The world is very attractive, and that's because of your flesh. Some of you in this room, the Spirit of God is strong, and you have a heart for God. That's because the Spirit of God is working and growing in your life. Now, I want to ask you something right now. I want you to be honest, every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you say, Brother Dawson, I know what hinders me. I know what hinders me in my Christian life. Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. I know what hinders me. I know what it is that causes me trouble in my Christian life. Okay, amen. All right, now I'm going to ask you tonight, if you will slip out of your seat and say, I want the Spirit to be bigger in my life. I would love to get to the point where the Spirit is in total control, so the manifestation of the Spirit comes out of me to be a witness, to treat others right, and to do what I need to do in my church. That's what I want. That's my goal, for the Holy Spirit to manifest himself. I want you to get out of your seat. We're not even standing again tonight. Just come down here. Man, listen, this is a simple message, but it can help you so much. It can help you. So you say, I want to stay the way I am. Go ahead, do nothing. You don't have to do anything to stay the way you are. But it's a battle. I'm not going to tell you it's not a battle, but at least you know. At least you know what's going on. At least you know why you are like you are. Just, if you can't get on your knees, just stay in your seat and pray. Man, let's have victory. Let's have victory in our life. Let's make that flesh small. Let's starve it and make it puny so that it's always going to be there, but it doesn't have to have any influence if we do it right. Let's do it. Let's tell the Lord at the altar, I'm sorry. I have allowed things in my life that feed the flesh, and I'm sorry, and I don't want to do it. Help me, Lord, and then go home and do something about it. Tonight, today, tomorrow, do something about it. Change some things and do what you need to do. And I'm telling you, you'll see a difference. If you're not saved tonight, maybe last night, you didn't get saved, you need to get saved. Whatever you need to do, the Lord speaks to our hearts. But let's please the Lord. Let's see a difference in our lives because the flesh gets weak and the Spirit takes control. And go home and do what you need to do to make a difference.